You know, when you're clearing, it's really about uncovering. Because you and Liz do a really good job at saying, okay, you think you're clear, you need to clear this, but it's really about that. You know, like I think Liz said, it's not about overwhelm, it's about trust, or I can't remember what the, why the trust.
Yeah.
In that
but,
case, yes.
Yeah, and, you know, that's really, really good because that's more of, that's a different muscle that I need to exercise.
Yeah,
that's a great question. So I started the recording, by the way, because I missed the very first thing you said on that, on this little section, which is what you guys really do well is asking the question.
Yeah.
And that's really key. So let me walk through that process. So when I got your email and I read it, so I'm slowing down my brain process here. So I know that you're clearing everything. I know that you're doing everything that the doctors say to do. I know that you're not cheating on your diet. I know that you're doing everything. So my question is, at that point, is what is it that she has to learn?
Mm-hmm.
If she's doing all these things, what could possibly be left?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I came to trust.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that's from my own experience, because I've been in that place before, and trust was the last thing, and when I finally let the trust go, it did clear up.
And you know what, for me, and that's to Ed's point, to ask it in every possible way, when I first started this process with doctors, I was trusting. I totally trusted that it would work, and I trusted the first doctor and the second doctor and the third doctor. But every time I switched gears, my trust became qualified. You know, like I trusted the first doctor to do a good job, and they didn't do a good job. So, and they don't have my best interest at heart, therefore. So now I'm going to trim my trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be conditional. It's not going to be unconditional. So by the time I'm the third doctor, it's definitely conditional trust. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's fascinating. So where have you seen that pattern before in your life?
You know, I don't know. I'm going to have to think about that.
Because this is interesting. You said I trusted this doctor, and then I conditionally trusted this doctor, and then I conditionally trusted this doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that you're not feeling this also, but you didn't say this. You didn't say I trusted the universe. And I trusted God, and I trusted my divine team. You said you trusted the doctor.
And that's because, that's a really good point, but I think what's happening for me is that I do trust that ultimately there's a bigger reason for this to be happening, that it's not just a physical issue, that it's obviously, you know, there's a universal mandate or methodology here somewhere. But I also, so now what I'm doing is I'm putting things in two separate pots, right? There's the universal reason, but I have this physical problem, so let's just fix the physical, right? As if they're separate.
Oh.
They're not separate.
Yeah, but they're not.
I mean, when I say it out loud, I know they're not separate, but I think that that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, okay, I'll accept that there's a universal reason for this. I'll accept that there's an emotional reason for this. But I also have a physical malfunction here, so let's fix that. As if the two don't correlate, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I want to support the conditional trust of a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not where you want to have the trust.
Right.
You want to have the trust in yourself to do what's right for you. And, you know, trust of higher power that there's a reason for this and, you know, you're going to get through it and get to that, you know, get the value out of it somehow. But, I mean, I'm just thinking about my experience over the last couple of years with doctors. The first doctor I went to at Kaiser Permanente, if I had not fired her, I might not be here today.
Mm.
She literally was so hung up on what you need to do is go to the vascular surgeon and let them do whatever they do. And looking at my swollen right leg and refusing to order an ultrasound for me. The ultrasound, which I finally had a month later because I had to fire her and get another doctor, and the first time I could see her was a month later, was the day after I saw that doctor, by the way. But the way I chose the second doctor, I learned my lesson. I said, look at me. I am going to a doctor who's low consciousness, high anger. This is nuts. This is not who I should be talking to. And so when I fired her and got the other doctor, I measured her consciousness. I measured her anger scale, her caring scale. I said, yes, this is the doctor I want to see. And sure enough, while those things don't guarantee, you know, what they're going to say to you, what their beliefs are, that kind of a thing, she immediately had me go in for an ultrasound. The following day, they discovered a deep venal thrombosis, which could have killed me.
Wow.
And you know, we've gone from that point. Now, I want to go one step further. That doctor, high consciousness, low anger, high caring, still, based on her background, she said, Ed, you need to be on warfarin or Coumadin, you know, one of those rat poisons, as blood thinners. And I, that afternoon, I took a couple of hours to think about it and talked to my daughter, who went online and found natural blood thinners. And I made a conscious decision. I'm not taking that stuff. I'm not going to be the rest of my life dependent on that stuff. And a fascinating thing happened overnight. The swelling went down. And I'm convinced it's because of the decision.
Right.
So at that point, were you doing clearings, Ed, or was this before that?
I was, but not anywhere near the level we are now, not even on the same planet, the same level. You know, that was back in some of those days of surrender and, you know, what is going on and why, why me, God? You know, that stuff. I was dealing with that. But in this case, I trusted that the thing for me was not to do what they said. Now, I found out later I could have been taking rat poison all this time, and that's exactly what warfarin and Coumadin came from, is rat poison. And literally the rats, it was rat poison, and the way the rats died is hemorrhaging to death.
Jesus.
And now they're giving it to humans, right? Modified? Yeah, I'm sure it is, but that's the essence of it. Let's see, where was I going with that?
Trusting doctors or not, that's where you started.
Yeah. So at some point I had to trust myself to make the right decision for me. And it, bam, as soon as I did, the swelling went down dramatically, literally overnight.
Wow.
It was an amazing thing. And that's when from that point, I discovered a guy here in the Tampa area who, in about 30 minutes, dissolved the clot energetically.
Hmm.
I mean, you know.
But notice that he made the decision to trust. When he says himself, he also means his higher self and his team.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Because I was in Denver when that happened, and he made that. It was a decision to trust not doctors, or as my mentor likes to call them, the minor deities, the MDs. Not to trust those deities, but she's had her own encounters with them. But to trust her. His higher self in his divine team. And so that's kind of what we're talking about here, going back to yours also, is that when there's nothing left, you have to see, am I trusting?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything is going to lead me to where I belong. And I've had some pain in the last few weeks. I mentioned it last week, and it was pretty severe in some ways. And I'm sitting here going, am I going to have breast cancer? What's going on? Is that in my past? Am I supposed to go through that experience and learn something? God, I hope not. And I mean, God, please, I hope not. But on the other hand, I trust, and I'm going to leave that to you, and I'm going to trust that if that is what's going on, and if that is the experience that I'm supposed to have, that great good is going to come from it, both for myself and for others.
Mm-hmm.
And it was soon after that, some things happened and some healing work was done on me and that it got much better. Yeah. So there's something about the trust and placing the trust in the right spot that really can make things move.
Okay. That's good. Thanks. Thanks, guys.
And there,
appreciate it.
Yeah.
There's something else. Yeah, and there's something else that, you know, I don't, that could have really gotten buried somewhere in the doctors, but I want to pull it out for y'all to be thinking about for when you're working with your clients, and especially when you're taking on new clients or bringing on new people in your business. And that's how he picked his doctor. Now, you may not be able to check the consciousness levels yet, but you can check the anger and caring levels of who you're working with.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, and if you're not totally confident in the level, look at it from a perspective. You know, pick some people you know and you feel good about their levels. In fact, that they're good clients kind of thing. Measure their levels, and maybe you get a 3. I might measure, and they're only a 1.5, or I'm sorry, we switched. You may measure them as a 30%, and I'm only measuring 20%. But just make it relative. You know, don't worry about how fine it is. But if you find other people that, you know, this is a good client, and you find other people that at that same level, say 30%, 35% or whatever, then you know that's okay. Don't worry about the specific number so much.
We switched the what did we switch? I missed that part, Ed.
We've stopped. Did we announce this?
I don't know. I know I did all the retooling. I don't. I thought we announced it, but maybe we didn't.
Well, maybe we didn't.
Yeah, you did. You did.
I don't know what we're talking. You know what? I got interrupted on a call waiting thing, so I didn't hear you at all.
All right. Here.
I just heard the switching part.
Is we switched the anger scale to the same scale.
Oh.
Everything else is on
0 to 100%. Got it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks.
So world class is now 10% or less. That kind of thing.
Which I kind of like, because worry often stabilizes between 8 and 12%. Once you get worry down to healthy levels, it's usually within the 8 to 12% range. And somehow it feels right. Anger being around 10% feels like a healthy range there, because. Because anger does serve a good purpose. It's there for a reason.
Yeah.
So I think y'all made us do it, and thank you. Because I think making the switch makes it more true to life. It's more reflective of what we're seeing.
Yeah. Anyway, I switched kicking and screaming, but I switched.
Well, it was polite kicking and screaming anyway. He wouldn't do it for me, guys. I said that when we wrote the book. But he'd do it for you. That's how much we love you.
All right. So,
gosh,
welcome everybody.
So,
what questions or comments do you have? Raise your hand.
Let me ask Tom, because
you don't have to raise your hand. You can just speak, actually, because you're all unmuted.
Yeah, but let me ask Tom, because Tom had a question earlier this week, and I'm going to make sure we addressed it. Tom,
okay.
He asked in the Facebook group about framing the discussion for working with a team. Did you feel like you understood everything, or would you like Ed to go a little more in depth into that?
Tom's on here, but he might be away from the phone.
Oh, well then.
Okay.
No, I just had to find the unmute button that I didn't realize that I was pressed. Okay. And so what I was saying is at about 6:45 tonight, it became a moot point because I spoke to the woman who had called me in desperation, and her remedy is I'm quitting.
Oh, wow.
I'm leaving the organization after 20 years. I'm leaving.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, here's what we would do in that situation. Ed would pull out his pendulum, and he would test to what percent that was our highest and greatest good.
Mm.
Now, whether or not you can say anything at that point to make her, you know, you can't make anybody, but anything to influence her changing her mind or not, it helps you as a coach to carefully frame what you're going to say next. If you know that sure. that decision actually was a, is the best decision for her moving forward, then you can fully support it. If it's only about an 86% good, then you might say something a little cautionary, like sleep on it 24 hours or something.
Yeah, but that said, I'm not her coach just yet. I mean, you know, it's ABC always be coaching, but you know we don't have that relationship, and so I just put my hands up in the air figuratively and backed off.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. By the way, I got 85%.
That is what did I say? 86.
Yeah.
85% at what?
85%. It's to her benefit to do that. What to what degree is it to her? Is it the right decision?
Okay,
I got 85% for whatever that's worth.
And I got 86, and that's a good example because I just pulled that out of the air, and Ed got 85. So
mm-hmm.
that means I use that for validating my own numbers too. So
either that, or you're so powerful, you made my number really close.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, that happened. I moved that pendulum all the way from here. So this is a really interesting teaching point because this is – so that's what we would do. We go, okay, what percent is this to her highest grade? It's good. 86%, by the way, is not high enough. We prefer to see 96 and above.
Well, and I don't see it as linear. I don't tend to think it's linear either. So.
Well, no, not. But if it was 86%, we would advise the person to stay where they are until they did some clearing and figuring it out. Because
mm-hmm. yeah.
we want to see 96 or above for them to be just leaving cold turkey.
Right. Well, she did share with me she has aging parents that live on the West Coast. She lives here. So from a personal standpoint, it might be a good time to make a change.
Yeah.
So she has some personal reasons that she did share. On a unrelated old business issue, a person that is my coaching client, who is the interim VP, was supposed to have a meeting with her boss, and we had a discussion about that. I've not heard from her. She's supposed to have a meeting on Tuesday, and I sent her an email late this afternoon. You know, could you give me some kind of a status update? Because I've heard nothing, so I got nothing.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, it could be what's likely happened is a meeting got postponed. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Tom, you've been a coach for a while. What does it mean to you when a client's avoiding you?
You know, I have trouble dealing with that, with the reality of that, I will admit, being the optimistic person that I inherently am. Because I do work with some legitimately really busy people. I mean, you know what? I got to fly to Paris. I got to fly to I'm talking about one in particular. He's always unexpectedly on an airplane going somewhere else. And and our meetings are in person. So I don't take that too personally, although, there's other complications, but we don't need to go there tonight.
Here's something I would do. When the client is ducking me, that usually means that they're not wanting to make a decision about something. That's what that means when the client's ducking me. So I'm not saying that's your coaches, your clients. That's what I see. So if mm-hmm. someone doesn't want to talk to me, that means that there's something they don't want me to know, which means either they made a decision that's not good for them, or they're avoiding making a decision that is good for them. So, but you do have legitimately busy clients. So if I were you, this is where I'd pull out my pendulum and test to see if it's to their highest, greatest good for you to poke them some more.
Okay.
See if they're legitimately, use your pendulum, see if they're legitimately busy or if they need your intervention. Not do they need my intervention? That wasn't the question. Is it to their highest, greatest good for me to continue contact, for me to poke them on this?
Mm-hmm. Just a technical thing I will just share for what it's worth. I came back from Denver and I went on Amazon and I bought a pendulum so I could, you know, I want to be Ed, you know.
Don't we all?
I want to keep my own feet, but I want to be Ed in some other way.
Yeah,
but,
no kidding.
That said, the pendulum just does not work. Give me a clear sign for yes. Nothing. So I'm using this, the pulling the fingers apart. That does seem to give me a much better reason, a reading, I should say, and that works for me. So I just share that. Anyone
want to
for
great, yeah.
$6, I'll resell my Amazon pendulum.
I'd like to see a picture of it. You could email me a picture.
Sure.
You know, Tom, for whatever it's worth, years ago I was told by somebody that uses a pendulum all the time that there is something to the type of the material that it's made out of, that it makes a difference.
The one I got is stone, I think.
Yeah, so there's a whole website that only sells pendulums. And so, Ed, yours is some kind of metal, right?
Well, I have more than one, but the one that I tend to use is silver or chrome or something like that. Yeah, that I like the best, yeah.
Yeah,
I
used to have one that was made
granite.
Out of crystal,
granite, yeah.
And this guy told me that the crystal one was not as good as just getting a standard metal one.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's true or false.
Well, let me make a comment about this, because Tom, I can stand here and hold my pendulum. It's still right now, and I'll say, give me a yes. Tom, I'll let you know when it moves. It ain't moving, buddy.
But
it
does for me.
Let me finish, please, because what. It varies. Every single person is different. I have yet to see instructions on how to use a pendulum that comes from someone who says that there are many different ways that you could use the pendulum, or different ways to get it started, that kind of thing. But what I got very clear for me, for Ed Oakley, it may not fit for anyone else in the world, I don't know, is I can't, if I just ask the question, if I just hold it still and ask it to answer a question, it won't do anything. I've got to get it moving, then I make a statement. By the way, statement instead of a question is what works for me. And, you know, my name is Ed. And I sort of start it spinning and see where it ends up, the direction it's going. And that's my yes. My name is Liz, you know, and start it spinning, and where it ends up is that's my no. So I always have to start it myself, and so just in case that's any benefit to you, I want to share that.
Thank you. I think I need a metal one.
Okay.
Well,
all right. I'm playing with it.
What
I'm
would
speaking,
do,
and it's like nothing.
So what I would do, Tom, is look up metaphysical bookstore, because you've got one somewhere near you. So look at metaphysical bookstore and go in and try them out.
Good idea.
Metal doesn't work for me because I'm a wood element, and metal and I don't get on very well. So there's so many different factors to which one is going to move for you. So I would just go into a metaphysical bookstore and handle them until you feel one that feels right.
Good idea.
Thank you.
And,
yeah, I agree with
and
that.
And I'm an omnidextrous pendulumer. I don't know what, but I can, except for metal, I can use just about anything else. And I can use metal. It's just I don't like it as much. But I use my key ring with the keys dangling to make the weight. I mean, it doesn't matter to me. As long as it's something that will dangle, it will move. So everybody is different is a big thing there. So you just need to see what will move for you. Or I almost never use a pendulum because I can never find it. My fingers are always attached, so that's what I use. So there's nothing wrong with using your fingers if that's what works.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
They do work reasonably well.
You just don't get to be Ed that
but
way.
But I just, not exactly.
No, you have to be Liz instead. I'm sorry.
You guys are fun.
We're your fans.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's really fun about the fingers? This is kind of funny. When I'm laying in bed with a migraine, which thank goodness doesn't happen very often anymore, but my fingers are really, really weak, and they can still do yes or no. And that always amazes me. I can barely hold my fingers up, and yet they will still do yes and no. So I'm like, okay, it must work. So
can I ask another question about pendulum? I mean, Tom, I don't want to hone in here if you're still in the middle.
I'm done.
Okay.
Thank you.
How far in the future do you go with questions for the pendulum? I mean, I know we use the question to say, you know, can I help this person now? But can you ask for any kind of predictive information? Because I've always been told, no, you can't.
I don't think you can count on it, and it's a reasonable idea just to get your thought processes going and give you ideas and insights that you might not have thought about and things like that. But so many things change in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 1 minute from now is the future, and things could change, you know, that would affect the decision making you're making. So I don't think we can count on it nearly as well as in predicting. Now, having said that, notice that we do use it for, hey, at this point in time, look at all the factors, you know, when should we start our next Life's New Game Jumpstart class? You know, what is the ideal date for that? Now, that's out in the future. So, in fact, we just did it for the next 6 months, I think, something like that. And, you know, and I look at that and then I say, well, what makes sense about that? You know, it's saying this, what makes sense about that? Well, gosh, I can see that, you know, July and August aren't really great. And that's probably because it's summer and people are on vacation and not doing things like this. And September looks a whole lot better, you know, those kinds of things. So I look at it and just ask the questions, you know, what makes sense about it? What can I learn from this process? And I'm just a little bit wary of counting on it too much when it's out in the future.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah. No, it does. It's kind of along the lines of what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
And what's real is what's now. Now is what's manifested. People ask me, what's my favorite?
Yeah.
What's my favorite age with Kira? And I say, today, you know, now. And
right.
When she was younger, it's because every moment unfolding was, you know, something new and wondrous. And now, still it is. But also, I realize that this moment is actually what exists. Mm. So you can test some things. You know, should I go here or should I go there in August? You know, should we go to Costa Rica or should we go to Peru or should we go to Arizona, you know, I can make those kind of future things. I don't usually tend to make them for others very much. When I do future, it tends to be my path. So given what's going on in my life now, given the trajectory I'm on now, will this be to my highest, greatest, and good to go that do this in the future?
Mm-hmm. Got it.
And I will occasionally ask, is it possible I might work with this person in the future? But mostly I just let that take care of itself because there's just so many variables. The thing I learned in seminary, the biggest thing I learned in seminary was 90% of that job of being a pastor is just showing up.
Yeah, as with most things.
Yes, mm-hmm. Especially with our work. We just show up and we be the best we can be and know that the rest of it's going to fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
Liz, I have a related question when you're finished with that.
Well, I'm finished.
All right. So yesterday, the topic is trusting your testing. So I have a prospective client, and I'll embellish the story or enhance the story a bit. Back in Arizona, I went out a day early to enjoy Arizona in January as opposed to Chicago in January. And so I had a day just kind of sitting by the pool reading. And but I did check my email, and I got a new prospective client that sent an email. And I said, I just love this. I love sitting by the pool and getting new prospective clients. This is just the greatest thing in the world. All right. So that said, I had a phone conversation with a little bit of phone tag, whatever. I did have a phone conversation with him, I think while I was out there, maybe right after I got back. But this was, you know, early January. Yesterday afternoon, I finally had my first meeting with this person. He kind of disappeared for 5 months, and then we had just a whole series of postponements. And as I'm driving, well, you know, could you come drive toward me? It just, it started to just not feel good. There's just so many postponements and so many. And so I'm testing. Is working with Paul to my greatest and highest good? And I got a no. So, okay, I'm on my way to the meeting. What, do I turn around and not show up? You know. Oh, sorry. Another postponement. How about forever? But I went and I did my normal thing. And today I'm testing and I get a yes. So, you know, was it my prejudice with all the postponements? It's like, I don't want to do this. Maybe I don't want to do this. I don't know. Was my conscious seeping into my subconscious? I don't know. So I don't know. I just share that for what it's worth, because it's usually good.
Well, two things come to mind. One, there's a five-month wait. You're a different person you were 5 months ago, drastically.
Because, yes.
Because of life's new game and the work that
you've
done.
I did not test 5 months ago. I tested while I'm driving to see him yesterday. Yeah.
No, no, I know. But that's one. So first I'm addressing your frustration about the postponements. We've had frustrations about postponements lately, too. We were supposed to be starting the next jump start last Sunday, but we're having tech things that are pushing it back. But I know that when that happens, that there's a reason for it.
Mercury retrograde.
Well, Mercury retrograde, but Frank Kern did a very successful launch in the middle of one. So, you know, that's not always a factor. Of course, a man makes $7 million out of nothing. But I know that there's some developments that we're having right now that are going to make the next jump start just phenomenal, like it always happens. But I know that it's gotten pushed off because of that. So you may not have been able to talk to this client 5 months ago. I would say that you said something to him at that meeting that changed him. Something you said made him make a decision to move into a person and to be a person that you can now help.
Wow. Cool. Thank you.
And so he wasn't that person on your way there, but you said something, and he made a decision. And so that's phenomenal, Tom. Good job.
You know, I like her.
All right.
I like her answer a lot better than mine, but I do want to give you a slight.
I think you should just keep her to yourself then.
Well, just for that, I will. Now, the only thing I was going to say is I would be a little careful with pure yes and no with the pendulum. And I realize that's all you can test. But yes and no are too definitive. And so, for instance, if the way I see it, if it's not 100%, it's not going to be yes.
But the answer is gray, and I'm asking a black and white question.
That's right.
Well, yes, and
wait a minute. Let me finish, please. And so the answer might have been 98% that you should go on this call, that this would be a good fit for you. But because all you asked was yes and no, that's not 100%, therefore it may not be yes.
But that's only if you consider your yes 100%, and I do not. So that's why yes and no works for me.
All I'm saying is I'm not so clear about that, and that's one of the reasons why I use the 100% scale, because, man, if it says 100%, I just feel a whole lot more clarity about it, which is my perspective.
So it's just different perspectives there, but for me, a yes doesn't mean 100%. A yes means it's heading the right direction. So a yes could be anything from 92 to 100% or for 86 to 100%, not that low, more like 92 to 100%. So it means that I'm moving in the right direction is what it means. And no means I'm moving in a direction away from my highest, greatest good. So it's much more of an intuitive. It's not actually a black and white sort of thing. And so it's really interesting because since Ed sees a yes as 100%, that's how it's going to test for him. So he's mm-hmm. rarely going to get a yes if he does a yes or no because that's how he perceives it. And that's not how I perceive it. So yes and no works for me where it won't work for Ed in that way. So it's seeing what works for you and following that. And I think
I get lots of 100%, by the way. I get lots of 100%. I just ask, to what degree is this for my highest and greatest good? And if lots of times it says 100%, and that just gives me a confidence. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So I would say test it with your feelings also. Do you feel, this is where you go back to the feeling of expansion. When you get these answers, do you feel expansive or contractive?
Yep.
If you feel contractive, then you're going the wrong direction. If whatever your pendulum told you helps you feel expansive, then that's the intuitive feeling of, hey, I'm on the right track. So when you're testing how the pendulum or the fingers work best for you, don't go just by this is Liz's method or Ed's method. Go by, do I feel expansive? Then I'm moving forward in my own way, and then we're going fine.
Well, as usual, I was semi-reluctant to ask what was seemingly a trivial question. You guys have once again exceeded my expectations with your
Well, this is the advanced group. We give you the advanced answer.
Have you always been a comedian?
And I am so grateful for that.
Well, Dan, you've been pretty quiet. Do you have anything you want to talk about this evening?
I got a couple of little technical ones.
Okay.
As week three separation was the first, is that still, is 100, or is that going down or up?
Now, I didn't understand the question.
Let me repeat it back because you were breaking up. Were you asking about how to measure unity and separation?
Yes. So with separation, you're trying to go towards 100, or are you trying to get it down to 0?
Down to 0.
Yep, and unity is up to 100.
Okay. All right.
Yep. And I don't think it's going to get all the way to 0 and 100, those two.
No.
That's just not where we are yet. Yeah.
I'm clear on the direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. You bet.
Okay. Shame goes down. Disgust goes down. Okay. Just looking at next week now. The test should be up. Dale's up. Okay. I think I'm good. That was the one question I had.
Yeah. So how's the clearing going, guys?
Well, I think it's going really well. I'm getting a lot of positive feedback from people. I had one woman who, she's been separated from her husband now for almost a year, and she had it in her mind that the separation had to last a year, that was her timeline in order to come to terms with whatever the next decision was going to be. And they had gone to therapy, and they'd been in conversation or whatever, and when I cleared forgiveness, it's when she decided that she didn't have to hold on to the year and that she could invite him back. And, you know, because that's where she was headed. It was just, I think it was just one little push that got her over the edge.
Mm.
And she acknowledged as much. She wrote me this really long note about it and said, you know, I finally just decided that I was hanging on to this fictitious deadline for no good reason, and that really all I had to do was forgive him. And so I did.
Wow.
That's to me was great. Like the big deal of all the people, you know. And
yeah.
And some of the other feedback I'm getting is a little bit more vague, but it was pretty special to get that one.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow.
And if you want to send me her email, you know, anonymized, I can just say that verb, anonymized. If you want to make it anonymous, and I can print it down for you to a testimonial links that you can use.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Because that can be hard if you're not a copywriter marketer to do that. So I'll be happy to do that for you.
Sure.
And of course, we would be happy to use it too.
Yeah, we have to be really careful. I mean, not that I think she would ever stumble upon anything that would, that she'd read.
No, I'm pretty good at making it down to excerpts that y'all can use, and that's for all of y'all. So if any of you have stories and you're going like, I really could use this in my testimonial bank. This really would help other people, but I don't know how to anonymize it. Just send it to me, and I'll take care of it. And I will never use it without your permission. I will always ask. You've noticed that in your emails. And you send me a story. I say, oh, this is so cool. Can I use this without your name? And you say yes. And I never use it without that confirmation.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy to help you all with that because it helps all of us.
Yeah.
And we don't use their names either. We don't use their own
name.
Yeah, that's
cool. We make up names.
I make up a name close to the original so that I remember whose story it was.
Yeah, it might be
Actually, I had one of the people I'm clearing asked me a really interesting question. So on the week that we cleared anger, she wrote me and she said, she basically asked me if clearing her anger meant that she got really, really, really angry about something which she typically wouldn't have, and then all of a sudden it went poof. Kind of like it had to get dialed up before it got dialed down. And I didn't know what to say to her. I basically said, well, it depends on what time you were angry, because I didn't clear you until late that night. I said, so if you were angry all day, maybe you would have noticed more of a, I don't know, what would you have said to her?
I would say that she was given an opportunity to make a decision to let go. So you had done all the clearing, but it sounds to me like she still needed to make a decision. And so she was given
that opportunity. She got really angry before I did the clearing, but that day.
Yeah, well, and then it just went away when you did the clearing?
Yeah, she said it literally went away like magic, like poof. I said, well.
You're welcome.
Well, I'd say that happened.
Yeah.
That's what you say.
What?
I think
you're welcome.
I didn't hear that, guys. So. Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Ed. I said you have a two-word response to that. You're welcome.
I'll learn that.
and you're welcome.
It can. Yes, it can. Remember the young lady we talked about, and she's in all our videos, and she got to get back together with her best friend after a 20-year estrangement. She had just had so much anger. I didn't know that young woman until after Ed had cleared her. I wouldn't know her as this person that we talk about on the webinars.
Mm.
I mean, I can't even conceive of her as that person, literally. Which is saying quite a lot because I have some significant skills that way, and I can't even see her like that. Energetically, I cannot see the footprint of who she was as an angry person. It's gone.
Wow.
So, yes, it can happen, and it did happen, so congratulations.
Yeah.
I thought Liz was going to come up with some really cool idea she sensed that you were about to clear it and she was going to have one last hurrah.
Actually, that's not too far from what could have happened, actually, because, and I was going to say that, but I didn't. Because,
now this is getting scary when I'm predicting Liz.
Well, all time is one to your divine team. So
yeah.
they highlighted the
point.
Anger so that she could So they highlighted that anger because she would know what she was letting go, and she could make that decision point.
Well, you know why that makes really a lot of sense? Because she made a point of saying that she generally doesn't get that angry. So she may have never noticed the clearing had she not been angry.
Yeah.
This is a girl that does yoga, you know, 7 days a week or something. If you met her, she's like a little angel. So, yeah.
But she may have been managing that anger all these years, too.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it all came up to the surface. That could happen when you clear this stuff. It can all come up to the surface on the way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it may have always been there. She doesn't usually get angry, but she knows how to manage it. But now it's really gone.
Wow. This stuff just gets cooler by the minute.
you realize how much we get to learn from these calls.
Yeah. Well, I love being part of the discovery team, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Mm.
Yep. And then you heard Claire.
I was about to say that, Trish, and we're right on the same wavelength. So Dan wasn't there. This was great, Dan. One of our lifestyle people on the lifestyle call right before this one, and just to recap, guys, lifestyle call, we take care of your personal questions, and here we take care of the certification questions. So there was some confusion, so I'm just going to keep saying that to help make sense for all of us. But and that means we want you on the lifestyle call. So on the lifestyle call, one of our lifestylers says, oh, one of your certification people is clearing me.
No,
clearing
the husband.
Yeah. Clearing the husband. Yeah. And so she tells us the story, and I know who it is because you shared it in a Facebook group without saying her name. I remember you sharing that, so I didn't say anything, but it's like, aha, I know who that is.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's great. And really, when you're healing the spouse, the sibling relationship like that, family systems theory says that if you heal one relationship, it makes the whole system healthier. So you're helping the whole family. So it's just incredible.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. I like that.
Cool.
Yeah. So what's true for me in this whole process, and I want to say this out loud because I want to know if anybody else feels this way. It's sort of like when I first started learning how to use the assessments. So I trusted the assessments, but I didn't trust my ability to interpret them. So whenever I was working with a new client, I was afraid that, you know, I wouldn't debrief well or whatever because I wasn't interpreting well. Well, obviously, that was a long time ago. So with this process, it's the same thing. I trust the process. I trust that you guys are effective with the process. You, Ed and Liz, are effective with the process. And I find myself looking for evidence, not because I need evidence that the process works. I need evidence that I work. And that goes with testing. That goes with doing the process, you know, every part. So I'm interested, Dan and Tom, if you guys have that also.
I will say amen to that.
Okay.
Yeah, ditto. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we expect that. We've all been through that. We expect it from several different ways. I'm a coach, so I know that from teaching. Yeah, Ed's been training forever. But also from a marketing standpoint, the two biggest objections in marketing, does it work? Will it work for me?
Mm-hmm.
What's encouraging for me is hearing your stories. It's clearly working for you.
Yeah, but I'll keep pushing up against this for a while, knowing myself. I mean, maybe I can clear that. I'll clear that for myself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You caught yourself. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
Dan, even you, with all of your experience with Psyche, you still have the same.
Yeah. No, I got to prove it to myself. I mean, it's a new system for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I called my first group, the beta group. It's, you know, just like we're doing here. It's a little bit of testing. It's all fine-tuning. But, you know, yeah, I'll get more faith as time goes on, you know.
Yeah.
But because, so, you know, so that one line of code at a time versus 2,000, that's a lot. You know, that's a big leap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I invite you to really seriously consider clearing
every little of those statements you make, like, I got to prove it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, do you, or are you, it's just a belief you have?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it might just speed it up if you cleared that. I got, Dan, I got you, that was true at 95%. So that's a long ways from zero. So, yeah, so it might be worthwhile just to consider clearing that and just see if it actually speeds up the process of fully letting go and trusting yourself that, you know everything you need to know and just trusting it.
And this is where the Facebook group really comes into helpful play. When we're all posting on there and sharing these things, it's not just that we can reassure each other, but that we can hear each other. And so we can say, yeah, you can clear that. And like, mm-hmm. Dan, yeah, I'm trusting you at 95%. You should go ahead and clear that while you're at clearing everything else. But Ed and I do this for each other all the time. We're talking and we're going, wait a second, I hear a belief. And so when you say it out loud, it's like the belief rears its head and we can see it and you can pull it out by its roots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's encouraging to keep talking in the Facebook group.
And it's an example of subtle energies that there's just no way you're going to have all of those in any list. When we double the list to 5,600, it still is not going to have all those little subtle things.
No.
Yeah.
And when you're clearing a week's worth, I mean, I think we've asked this before, and I forgot what you guys said. If I'm on week three with someone, do you always name all of the items that are on the list, or do you just say week three?
I would do whatever's comfortable for you at this point and modify it as you feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable saying every single one. That's why I'm asking, because it takes a little longer that way.
That's how we started. You know, we started saying every single one, and so we got comfortable with just saying the list. I mean, Tom cleared week one. You just said week one, right, Tom?
Yeah, but only one time did that work, and every other time I've tested, I get, no, I can only do two or three at a time.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
I don't know if it was luck or what it was or, you know, my testing, whatever. But, you know, so what I'm doing, right or wrong, can I clear for this particular person this, this, and this at one time?
Yep.
Now, I usually get a yes if it's three. But if I go four or five, I'm not getting a yes.
Oh, interesting.
Okay.
So does that have something to do with his bandwidth, Ed? Or just like we don't have the bandwidth to test consciousness?
Oh, it's not our bandwidth. It's his bandwidth. It's his ability to receive.
That's what I mean. Is it?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, that,
right.
Can clearings be overbearing at times? Is really what, and I think we know the answer is yes. That, you know, some people just aren't ready for all of it
mm-hmm.
at once.
Mm-hmm.
And if they
are. On the other hand, their divine team will not clear more than is good for them. So don't worry about overclearing.
Yeah, you don't have to. Okay, here's how I see it. You don't have to worry about overclearing because it's not going to happen. But it's also not going to be. It's not going to actually clear as much as you thought it would. So it won't be overbearing. And so you're better off, in my opinion, is to go ahead and test and. To test to find out what is the right amount and just do that that much, and then you're going to get that fully cleared, or at least fully cleared for now.
Okay, so if you're getting feedback from people, so let's say you're interacting with a client and you say, well, this week I cleared you on blah, 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 and they'll say, well, I didn't, and you get a testing back saying that thing was not cleared or wasn't cleared to a higher degree because that person wasn't ready. Do you give that feedback to the client?
Do we give it to you?
To the client. So, if, like when you guys were clearing us.
Right. Go ahead.
So when you guys were clearing us, if you ever bumped up against, you know, one of us not being ready to clear something to 100% or to clear it at all, would you have told us?
Yes, and we did. You may not remember, but yes, when that would happen, we would tell you. In fact, we'd contact you directly and say, you're not clearing. What's up? But in a nice way.
Okay.
That seldom happens that way, though.
Okay.
It can. I mean,
it is unusual.
It is unusual, though. It's more of a degree thing. I mean, you find somebody who's, say, high anger, maybe 55% or something, you clear them, it might go all the way to 35% at that point. That's all they're ready for at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a flag to come back later, make sure you come back in, you know, a week or two later and see if you can clear more.
Got it. Oh, so do you go back and revisit clearings when you get below a certain percentage? Do you have like a guideline number?
I don't. I just it's more of a. It depends on the issue. I mean, for instance, worry and anxiety might be a little higher than say in anger,
mm-hmm.
And it might have something to do with what's going on in their life. I mean, you might remember the story of a woman in a company who had been trying to get pregnant for years, and
mm-hmm.
her time measure of worry and anxiety was like 85%, cleared it, and within like a week, she was pregnant.
Did
and
you
I
take
had
credit
nothing
there, Ed?
All in there, Ed.
So we've got a brand new service we're offering.
Fertility clinic. Ed and Liz's, come on down to Ed and Liz's fertility clinic. Come on down.
Yeah, that's when they're going to start calling us witch doctors in a minute.
That's right.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I really want to send Bill Bodsetter and a few people around TTI a picture of our group. Since I've got you on the call, that there are three of you here that are all TTI distributors. Do you have any problem with that?
I don't.
Well,
I don't.
First that I have a question.
Okay.
Why is that so important to you, Ed?
Okay, Coach.
Because.
Oh, come
because
on, don't
I,
be a party pooper. That'd be so fun.
Because I think there's a potential leverage opportunity, even though we had the conversation during the certification weekend, and it was brought up that, you know, how many times have those kinds of relationships with TTI worked out? And the answer is not often. But still, there is that part of me that thinks there might be an opportunity. I can't get past, you know, the reality of doing our very first business presentation and nine people, you know, go through life's new game, and seven of the nine end up getting certified, and an eighth worked out an arrangement with us for us to do the clearing for her clients. So those numbers are pretty interesting. And what that says is the kind of people that are our TTI distributors are probably a pretty darn good fit for life's new game.
Mm-hmm.
So
now,
that's where I'm coming from.
Ed, the reason we should maybe take this offline, but I mean, I'm part of another network that's even, I believe, is even a better fit for Life's New Game than is TTI.
Okay.
However, they're very slow to innovate, very slow to implement. That said, they finally, I'll be transparent. RAC, Resource Associates in Reading, Pennsylvania, is my other affiliation. And they, for a long time, I mean, I joined RAC almost 14 years ago. And at the very first time I went to one of their quarterly developments, I met a guy by the name of Jerry Fons, who said, let me tell you about this TTI thing. And so there were a lot of RAC people that were also had a TTI affiliation because they're just the two services fit hand in glove.
Yeah.
That said, I will say in experiencing REC's quarterlies, I've been to more than a dozen of them over the years, and TTIs, I will say TTI allows other people, like Gary Sorrell, who started with REC doing the whole newsletter thing. They allow other people to sell stuff at their convention. Tammy would never allow that. She's very close. That said, they now are aligned with Jay Niblick.
Oh, really?
And they have an alliance with Intermetrics.
Oh, interesting. I know Jay and Intermetrics, yeah. Interesting.
So that's probably it. I'll be happy to talk to you about it offline.
Okay.
Make an introduction, whatever makes sense. We probably don't need to waste to take time.
Yep.
This call Good time point. On that, but.
All right.
Hey,
but
Chris,
I've been thinking about you, Ed, and that's why I asked why it's so important, and you know,
okay.
So. So I've been thinking about you.
I appreciate that, and it's not urgent. Certainly, there's no urgency whatsoever. So I'd much rather just chat with you about it. Certainly, before we do anything like that. Yeah, good. We'll do that offline. Yeah.
Liz, are you checking email right now?
Yes, but it just now came in.
Okay, yeah, because I can't really say that out loud. But you can read it out loud, but I can't say it out loud on my end.
Well, this will be good.
Yeah, really. This is really.
No, not really. I mean, when she reads it, you'll see. It's not a.
Okay, so just let me make a note timestamp here. I'm timestamping everything, so let me know if that helps y'all, because I've been started on the replays putting timestamp notes about what's going on when, so that we can find the information when we want it.
Now, when you hear this question, be sure not to tell us who said it now, because it's anonymous.
Here's a question of a client who has many life choices in front of them, and the ones that are opening their doors are not the ones that they thought they wanted. So I like this question. Is there anything I can clear that can help him with his process? I love that question, because the question wasn't, is there anything I can clear to help him get the choice that he wanted, but to help him with his process.
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful question. And so, yes, I would clear, you know, there's so many clearings you could do around that. I'd almost get a trigger around it. But what you want to clear is for that client to take steps to their highest, greatest good and their highest, greatest expression of themselves. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking about a young client here. So there's so many different ways they could go. But the nice thing about the young clients, the burning desire with young clients is that they not have to go through the hell that we did to get to where we are. We would just love for them to have a smoother path.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order to help them smooth that path, like Ed said at the beginning of the call, your light, or at the end of last call, your light is shining. We remove all these big blocks, the medium blocks, the small blocks, and that light that's shining from you is always there. What we want to help the younger generation do is to get in touch with the light, to be the light, and to not be afraid to express it to the world. And sometimes it's not always in the path that we thought it was going to be. And this client's about the age to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be why that they're not getting the choices they thought that they wanted. So what we want to clear is for him to be at peace with the learning experience of learning his way, and to always let his light shine so that he's taking steps towards that.
I like that.
Another key piece, though, may be also level of consciousness.
You guys cleared that, though, right?
Yeah, Ed is not level of consciousness with this person because they're already up there.
What is that?
We've been clearing them. This is somebody that we've raised their consciousness for. Well, I thought we were anonymizing. Yeah, this is somebody who's, I think they're close to 900.
Yeah, that's true. Over, I think, actually.
I think they're over. I think they are over. But I did all those reports at the same time.
The person you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah. So in this case, it's not as a matter of level of consciousness.
All right, gotcha. By the way, let's see, we got Tricia. We don't have
let's see, we got Dan, we got people from Dan, we got people from Tom. I don't think we have anybody else who has even turned in even free consciousness raising stuff.
You know what? I completely forgot about it. I have to do that.
So here's what we're going to suggest. We're going to suggest you've got 6 free ones. So that was another question that we were going to bring up. And let me just timestamp this one, too, because this is really important. So doing the consciousness raising part is critical. It makes a huge difference. You're going to change their life with the first part, but if you really want them to go to the next level, then you have to have their consciousness raised. So if you haven't done it yet, here's what I suggest. Do a split A-B test. Mm-hmm. If you're already clearing people without the consciousness piece, choose a couple to clear the consciousness so you can see for yourself what a difference it makes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not following. What?
So if you have not submitted clients, and I think everyone on this call, no, one hasn't. If you have not submitted clients to have their consciousness raised, you may be doing them a large disservice by not raising their consciousness, because it's really hard for them to burst through that glass ceiling without the consciousness part. They'll get a lot of the stuff and the baggage off, but bursting through the glass ceiling requires the consciousness piece. So what I'd suggest is that if you have not submitted your people, use your 6 freebies for the consciousness raising piece, and you're already clearing clients, don't submit them all. Do an A-B test to prove it to yourself what a difference it makes. So if you're clearing 4 people currently, submit 2 of them for consciousness raising.
But what would I look for as a difference?
I would pendulum, which ones you should submit.
How do I know there's a difference between the one group and the other?
I think that's a little bit challenging in this, because you're talking about 2 very different people. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, it certainly wouldn't hurt to try it, but I just don't know how effective that kind of an A-B test is going to be.
I guess I don't know specifically what you'd say or do to do an A-B test.
I think that the difference you would see would be in the allegorical data. It is in their stories and how they take off.
Okay.
When Ed first started all this watching a game, all he was doing was raising consciousness.
But let's look at what happened to me. If I could share that, if you don't mind. What happened to me is I cleared major emotional stuff first, and I was feeling shifts, and I felt like I was becoming different. But then all of a sudden, I went through over a week's period of time a significant consciousness shift. And that's when all of a sudden everything just took off.
Yeah.
And so much so that I thought it was only the consciousness shift, when in fact I realized later it was all of it together. But you had the consciousness shift was a really key. It was almost like that was the tipping point that made all the difference. So we can't suggest enough the importance of that, and gosh, there's a number of you that haven't even used any of your free ones.
Yeah, so that's why we want to. That's why we do it for you, because since you can't do it yet, it's so critical that we've made a way for us to do it for you, because it's a bit of a pain for us. I mean, there's some logistical things that we have to do to do yours also, but we do that for you because it makes such a big difference. And it really, when we talk about, when we do our webinar, you know, we say that there's 3 factors. There's a few more, but there's 3 main factors to world class. And that's one of them, is raising the consciousness. And you have to have all 3. You have to lower the anger, you have to raise the caring, and you have to raise consciousness if you want to be world class.
All right. Say that one again. Low anger.
Low anger.
Yep.
Low anger. High caring,
yep.
High consciousness.
Okay.
the anger is less than 10% or less. The caring is 98% or more. And the consciousness is over 800.
Caring is 95% or more.
95? I certainly felt wrong about that number. 95.
95?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And an unsolicited plug, it's all in the book. Delays no gain.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
That repetition thing, you know, keep writing it down.
Yep. Thank you for making that note, Dan.
You know.
I want to make a point too that once you've cleared the major emotions, then and only then is it appropriate to clear their invisible mask. And when the invisible mask gets cleared, they show up differently. And to me, that's a huge breakthrough piece.
Mm-hmm.
But it can only happen after you've got the awareness up and the big rocks of emotions clear.
So two of the people that I'm clearing, Ed, you tested in Denver for me,
mm-hmm.
and they were at 7:11 and 7:21.
Okay, those are pretty high.
Right. So.
Yep. Yep.
Would I use one of my six freebies on these people, or wait till I catch somebody a little bit lower?
That's a valid question, and I would just test it for yourself. 720 is pretty darn high, and it's not world class, but it's pretty darn high. So I that's a valid question, and I wouldn't rush to make that decision.
Okay.
Particularly as long as you're seeing and they're experiencing, significant differences.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let's be also clear that Tricia's doing pro bono clients on her test group now too. So if you're
paying clients,
I would go ahead and do it because they're paying for that bump up to world class.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but if they aren't paying clients, their buddies, friends, or whatever, you might want to consider saying, there's a piece we're leaving out here. And if you'd like to do that, it's going to cost you a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
Considering what you're doing for them, that would be trivial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea to give them the option and test if you should or not, but it might be a good idea to give them the option. If they put a little skin in the game for money-wise, money means has a lot of weight in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they put a little skin in the game, it will make everything go faster.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's not much, and you're not asking for that biggest skin at that point for 150 or, 200 if you're, doing administrative costs in your end or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Anybody else have anything?
I'm full up.
Okay.
All right. Super.
Yeah, this
is
a good
long
call,
day,
guys.
So. Yeah, great call.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Hey, great being with you folks. Appreciate it.
So how many more do we have? Three more? Is it three more? How many more do we have?
Well, we'll have them, monthly forever, for on and on. But,
I thought the certification calls were limited as to.
We're doing it weekly for
six weeks, right? So this is our third one.
Of the weekly calls.
Right.
Then there are monthly calls. That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Then there's a monthly for a year. Yeah, a monthly for the rest of the year.
Got
so it's 12 months altogether.
Got it. Okay. I'll get it together, guys, I promise.
That's why I incentivize you all to get out and start using the process immediately so you can ask your questions immediately when you're going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And you guys have done good with that. And I think the time constraints have been the only issue of why some of the others haven't been here consistently. I think it's just a tough time for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It has. Yeah, I've been keeping track of that. And everyone who's not been here has had a prior engagement. So I really appreciate how y'all show up 100% in this process is really gratifying.
Well,
yep, that's right.
This is pretty awesome. That's all I can say. Yeah. So thank you guys
all
very
right,
much.
All right, guys. Sweet dreams.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night.
Bye. Good night.
Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.